Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I don't know about you guys, but a game is 10 times more exciting when I'm putting my money on it. Sometimes I just have a really good feeling that I gotta throw some cash on it and make a big buck. Other times I bet my team because I know my team and, well, they're my team. Whether you've been betting for years or you're starting out, let my bookie be the best bet for you. They got a mobile site, plenty of sports to bet on, plenty of props, live bets, all kind of stuff, you guys. And we got the Super Bowl coming up. Plenty of stuff to bet on there. And if you enter the promo code CHAIR, we'll match your deposit dollar for dollar. So put 100, get 100 back. So go to mybookie.ag. You bet, you win, you get paid. All right, guys, welcome in. It's another Pit Panther Rants, another Sports Rants podcast. Vlad Harris, your host. Brought to you by Armchair Media. Take a seat. All right, guys, happy Monday to you. I'm heading to work, and I'm heading a little late. Long story short, the hot water heater in my apartment went. So, hasn't been fun the last 24 hours. So, we got it fixed, and I'm heading to work now, so I'm sure I got to deal with that now. Always a fun thing. And I just got cut off by an Amazon Prime truck. Thank God nothing bad happened there because I really don't feel like dealing with insurance again. And I would hate to see somebody's Amazon, stuff get delayed because, somebody was just in a hurry. Well, who knows? Maybe they have a deadline to meet. Obviously, a lot's happened in the last 24 hours. But as for in the world of Pitt, just a little bit's happened. Well, for one thing, Pitt lost to Syracuse 69-61. Pitt started off slow. Their key player, Justin Champagne, got in the foul trouble early, which is he was the focal point of their game plan. If you read up on the game and of course watched it. I watched as much as I could, but I just picked up some stuff. I know Alan Saunders of Pittsburgh Sports Now had 5 takeaways, and one of the things was the Champagne being in foul trouble, as he was the focal point of their game plan. And once he was out of foul trouble, they were pretty much screwed. On top of that, Buddy Boeheim was a thorn in Pitt's side once again. Pitt did recover. But in the end, they just couldn't get the. They had one. There was a possession where they could have gotten the rebound, and Syracuse player did a nice little hockey shove and got the rebound, and nothing was called. But Pitt battled back, in the end, they just couldn't get that last. They just needed one more possession and just couldn't get it. Sucks. But that's the thing is, Pitt, fell behind early, and they just, with this team, they can't afford to do that. Especially not against Syracuse at the Dome, playing against a zone defense, because, the 2-3 zone has always been the bread and butter of Syracuse, and it gives us fits. We haven't really been able to infiltrate the zone since, Jamie Dixon left. Jamie knew how to kill the zone. I think we'll get there. We just need the right personnel to do it with. We just haven't done it. Or maybe comes down to coaching as well. Who knows? But Pitt has Duke coming up tomorrow. And watching this team so far, they remind me a lot of the 2000-2001 Pitt team, where they would just, some games they would just barely lose. They would lose heartbreakers. And some games they would just come out of nowhere and just turn your heads.
And of course, that year they finished 19-13 overall. I mean, they did lose a game against Duquesne, but they also pulled off a big win against Georgetown that year. And Georgetown was undefeated at the time, and it featured the dunk by Boomche from Julius Page, where Julius on a break, Julius went up over him, and Boomche, I think, was like 7'7", 7'1". Page was 6'2", 6'3", and he dunked over him, and it was like an in your face kind of dunk. And pretty much that set the tone for Pitt basketball for the next up until Jamie Dixon left, because it set a new attitude that, you know, hey, this is us, and we're here to compete in Big East, and these games aren't going to be gimmies anymore. As we saw, you know, because the next season, some people were surprised, but we weren't. You know, they came out, especially in the conference. The year before, we got destroyed by Penn State, I think at least by 10 or 20. And that's when they had the Crispins. And, of course, one of them would transfer. But the next year, we played against Jerry Dunn's Penn State team. And Pitt whipped them by, I think, almost 20 or 30 points. I think Jerry Dunn was almost in tears. I think that's how bad the game was. I mean, Pitt literally killed them. They killed their pride. And Jerry Dunn was at the beginning of his end at Penn State. And, of course, they took on Ohio State the next game, and they destroyed Ohio State. And at the time, I remember we went to the Big East schedule. Boston College was like the world beater. They were one of the favorites to win the Big East that year. And Pitt beat them as well. I mean, Pitt just came out of nowhere and surprised the hell out of everybody. And before you know, we were back in the, I believe we won the Big East subconference that year. I think it was the Big East West. We won. And, of course, we went to the Big East tournament, and we took UConn overtime. Probably should have won that. UConn obviously disrespected us in that game, as I believe it was Caron Butler in the interview, and he referred to us as Notre Dame. He got the team fucking wrong. Yep, dickheads. But that team should have went deeper in the tournament than what they did. Unfortunately, we ran to Antonio Gates and Kent State and went to overtime and just ran out of gas. It sucked. That was a game we should have won. I don't know how we lost to Kent State, a MAC and mid-major, but that's just how things go sometimes. So I see a lot of this. I see a lot into this current team. I think if they get to the ACC tournament, I think they will make some. They will make noise. They won't win it, but I think they will win some games. They won't be a one. You know, they'll advance to their next bracket, but I think they may win more. And they'll leave us more. You know, with a preview what to expect next season for them. So to not be surprised if they start coming out of the gates the next year beating the crap out of everybody. And excuse my turn signal and the clicking, but yeah, I'm trying to make a turn. But let's just hope and pray. Anyways, all right, we're good. Big East football released their schedule. Well, not Big East football. I'm talking about ACC. I'm still stuck in a Big East frame. Pitt football released their schedule. Looking at it, they got out of conference. They got Miami of Ohio. They got Marshall, and actually, it's at Marshall. They got Richmond, the Richmond Spiders, and they got Notre Dame. Looking at that out of conference schedule on paper, Pitt should go at least 3-1. I should not see 2-2. I better not see 2-2. They should go 3-1 with that schedule. There's no excuse as to why they can't. Most of their defensive starters are back. Excuse me, I'm trying to change lanes. There's no excuses to why they can't go 3-1 in that schedule at least. The opportunity to go 4-0 exists because Notre Dame isn't all that great. But at the end of the day, it's Notre Dame. We have always a hard time with them, no matter what. So, 3-1, and of course we go in conference. In conference, well, let's see. There's no excuse as to why we can't go at least 4-3. So we're looking at 7 wins right now in regular season, and include the bowl game. We should get hopefully at least 8, because I'm sure at 7-5 we'll get some sort of blowjob.com bowl game against another MAC school or conference USA or Sun Belt or whatever. And there's no excuse as to why we can't win that one. So overall, we're looking at 8 wins. Could we win more? Could we go 9-3 overall? Sure, I can see it happening. Or 8-4, 9-4 overall. And of course, 9-3, 10-3. The possibilities are endless. They exist. But at the end of the day, it's freaking January, and we don't know anything until, we'll know more until spring, to at least what we have. But, Mark Whipple really wanted Joey Yellen to come on, and I believe he's going to be eligible for this year. Because, Kenny Pickett struggles. Or we're just not seeing the production from Kenny by his senior year. Well, I mean, he produced a lot more. It's because we threw the ball a lot more. Well, at least we got somebody who's ready to step in. So we'll see. But yeah, I mean, the possibilities for more wins exist. But if I'm making a bet, if the overall wins is like 6, I'm taking the over because, pitch get more than 6 wins. If it's 7, I'm taking the over as well. Because, pitch should win at least 8 games. So, yeah, possibilities are endless. Let's just hope they surprise us and win more. I mean, could we go to 10-3 and match what we did, when we were runners up in the Big East? And Dave Wass says, finest year? Sure. A lot's there. A lot is definitely there. Now, I did read something from John Rothstein about Rutgers being 15-5. I'm sure Brandon Knight is probably going to... He may, be... I'm not sure how much of this is the credit to Brandon, but maybe he is a discussion. If Rutgers keeps us up, maybe he gets a discussion for... head coaching job. And of course people will say, well, this proves that we should have hired Brandon, back when Jamie left. It doesn't really matter. I don't think Brandon was really ready to be a head coach at that time, although he wouldn't have been any worse than Kevin Stallings. But as you saw what guys like Marcus Carr and Parker Stewart are doing, even Bryce Golden, Aaron Thompson, some of the guys that Stallings recruited, who knows what we would have had. But as we saw what happened with that, with the players that Jamie left him, it was disastrous. I mean, he had, Artis and Young, and those were NBA caliber players. I mean, people say that, Jamie did leave Stallings a lottery draft pick in Cam Johnson, but we didn't know Cam Johnson was going to be a draft pick until he left North Carolina. He wasn't a lottery, even close to being a lottery pick when he was at Pitt. And if he would have stayed at Pitt, I doubt he even becomes a lottery pick. He went to North Carolina, played against better talent, practiced against better talent, game in and game out, day in and day out. And he obviously realized his potential then. But I'm sure Brandon, if he keeps up, he may end up getting a head coaching job. But who knows? Maybe he comes back. If he's not paid enough... As something we've all seen this before, maybe he will come back to Pitt, and he will be the head coach and come home, the Pittsburgh guy. Super Bowl's coming up, and of course, I was hoping to tweet the anticipation about the Super Bowl yesterday, but it was overridden by the news that we all heard about. It was the news that rocked the world, and And there's people that are still reeling from this. I mean, NBA players, obviously. NBA fans, because there's a lot of passionate fans. Or just people in general that know, that grew up watching Kobe Bryant. You know, Kobe, obviously, when he started in the NBA, I believe I was still in high school. I graduated in 97. I think Kobe's first year, he got in 96, I think. 96, 97, maybe. He was just coming in. He was still a teenager. I mean, when Brandy was still talking about Kobe, you know, the singer. I remember at the time. That's when that was that era. I mean, late 90s. You had all that. And I remember he came to the league, I mean, just out of high school, and we saw big things from him, and of course they get Shaq at the same time, and then boom, with Phil Jackson, they rolled off 3 straight NBA titles. I mean, I hated the guy because, well, Larry Bird became a head coach, and he was doing pretty well in Indiana, and I would have loved to see Indiana win a title for once. And, of course, well, they had to face the Lakers, and it just didn't work out. I mean, the closest the Pacers got to a title, I would say, was probably Bird's second year. Or maybe first year, was it? And they fell short against the Bulls, which would be Jordan's last year. They came very close to winning that. And took the Bulls to the end. But then the next season, they had a really championship-caliber team, and they choked against the Knicks. And then they had their last gasp, which was Bird's final year. They had the Lakers, and, well, there was that. The marriage between Kobe and Shaq would eventually end. Kobe would win a few more titles, I believe. I mean, but, you know, he always gave us a reason to hate him, and the guy was just damn good. I mean, he was a hell of a player to watch, and towards the end of his career, he was always hurt, and he closed out with a 60-point performance against the Jazz, I believe. I mean, the guy, he was a hell of a player. I mean, it's a shame. I mean, I woke up that day hoping to tweet about the Super Bowl, and here I'm seeing the tweets about RIP Kobe, and I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm reading the TMZ, he's reporting that he died in a plane crash, or a helicopter crash, I should say. Correction. And when TMZ releases stuff like this, you always have to wait till 8,000 sources have to confirm, because you never know if they're lying or not. Or they're just getting unconfirmed sources. And, well, I mean, once the sheriff's office confirmed it, and I guess that's what pissed a lot of people off, is, you know, TMZ had the story before that, you know, and it was able to break it before the family members had the news. They had the news yet, and it's already being reported. And on top of that, you had other stuff happening where they said all of Kobe's daughters were on the plane. It really was just one of them, and it was Kobe and a bunch of other passengers that had, you know, that had kids with them as well. Overall, I mean, it was tragic, and they probably should have canceled the games because these guys weren't in the right frame of mind to play. You know, they were very emotional. I mean, it's you know. And you saw it. I mean, these guys weren't—you know—they just weren't right from in mind. And of course, if Kobe really wanted them to play, they would have. You know, I mean, he would have wanted them to play, and that's what they did. And but at the end of the day, it just sucks. And of course, you know, it's just a tragic loss, and it just reminds you how short your life can be. I mean, I know you guys know all about this. I'm sure you've lost, you know, parents, family members, friends, I mean, too soon. And you realize that, you know, your time on this planet isn't as long as you thought you had it. I mean, you can be very healthy. I mean, look at Maggie Dixon, Jamie Dixon's sister. I mean, she was very healthy, very young. She had a heart condition. Boom, it was it. I mean, she didn't know about it. Or you get a loved one who's hit with, a life-ending disease, and you're my best friend. I mean, he got hit with it. Next thing you know, he got hit with it early, 2019, and then months later, he was gone. Yeah, I mean, it just shows you how, the time on this, it's precious. I mean, and you don't have a lot of it as you thought you did, and well, you just gotta let, live each day to the fullest, because that's what, we always hear this all the time when death happens. Live each day by the fullest. Don't let stuff get to you, because then it's all bullshit. Because at the end of the day, it's all bullshit. So, that's all I can really say about all that. I mean, I'm sure you guys have all read the tweets about life advice and whatnot. And so I'm not going to, recycle all of it, although I just pretty much did. But yeah, I mean, just bring about all the tributes. I mean, James Conner supposedly was talking to the guy. They were publishing their books. Yeah, I mean, it's terrible. And just, all the memories have come up, from, we've all watched them, and of course, some people are using it now to push a certain agenda about it. I mean, because of Kobe's past, I mean, there was Kobe, I guess, he was accused of rape, and the charges were dismissed. And people were saying, well, don't forget the guy was a rapist. Well, his charges were dismissed. I mean, he settled out of court, and I'm not saying he did or didn't do it, but at the same time, this is the same reason why when people mention Ben Roethlisberger, he gets the same energy from people. So, it's funny, because the same people that are exuding the same energy towards Kobe get pissed off when Ben Roethlisberger gets mentioned about his past. Well, again, I can't understand why they bring up Ben's past again. Well, here's the thing. If you're going to bring up Kobe's past, they're going to bring up Ben's past. That's just how it is. It's going to be kept consistent. So, I mean, if you're going to bring up Kobe's past, don't get pissed off if they bring up Ben's past or whoever's past. Ben settled, Ben and his both of them, he settled suits. I mean, the one he settled out of court. I mean, Kobe eventually had to sell his out. I mean, Kobe mentioned that, he says, they had, stuff, they had an encounter, but he claims that, the assault actually didn't take place. I don't know. But anyways, moving on. But, these people that are exuding this energy, I mean, they didn't care about it until it happened, until this happens. And then you got the people who say, well, don't forget, you guys are mourning Kobe. So-and-so died. And yet, the guy, I guess, the people that died last week, but he waits till Kobe's death to do this. Yeah. It's just all, I don't know. They did the same stuff when Prince died as well. It's just, you always get the morality police, no matter what. They always come from, and they all come from all shapes and sizes. Political views and whatnot. All in all, I mean, Kobe's memory is going to live on, mainly because of the people you see playing against, they're playing now. Kobe was obviously influenced in their lives when they played. And on top of that, they're always going to be in the discussion with Kobe? Was this guy better than Kobe? How would Kobe's Lakers teams play against match up against these teams? The guy's all his memory's going to live on because he's always going to be in the discussion, no matter whether it's a player or a certain dynasty or whatnot. So the guy is going to always live on, no matter what. He's going to live on through the players, and just through the discussions that you're going to have with other NBA fans, with comparisons. The guy isn't going to go anywhere. It just sucks that him and his daughter, who they completely a bond with, they're done. They're gone. So I'll end it here, guys. I'll let you have the rest of your week back. We'll talk Super Bowl later this week. More Pit Hoops. Hell to pitch, you guys. Talk to you later.